The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Thursday. Looking ahead to all the action from Salisbury, Haydock and Sedgefield. Chelmsford also having an evening meeting and Clonmel are racing across the Irish Sea. I'm sure they'll fit that in if they can on William Hill's Racing Radio, which gets underway from 1:30, where you can hear full race commentaries, selections and previews. But for now, here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby, joined today by Craig Forsyth. Craig, how's it going?
Yeah, very well, thanks, John. Very well, and looking forward to a big weekend ahead.
Well, yeah, as you say, a big weekend coming up. And before we shift the focus to Thursday's racing action, let's have a look at some of those races coming up on the weekend. And there's a plethora of Group 1s over the Irish Sea for Irish Champions weekend, but also here in Britain with the Sprint Cup over at Haydock. And Harry Angel currently heads the market for us here at William Hill at 9-4. Brando is 3-1. Tazit 6-1. Blue Point is 8-1. Caravaggio 8-1. Also 8-1 for the Tin Man. Lamato and Magical Memory both 10-1 and 20-1 and bigger for the rest. Craig, Harry Angel's been on the drift a little bit for this the last few days. That's partially been put down to the ground conditions. Do you think that could pose a problem for him on Saturday?
Yeah, very much so, John. I think it's, you know, a case of looking at the forecast, and I think every day between now and Saturday we are forecast varying amounts of rain, and I think conditions are all set to deteriorate. Genuine soft ground, I think, is definitely going to be on the cards for the big race on Saturday. I think that they do have fresh ground because the 3-day meeting, which did start on Thursday, but they keep some fresh ground for the Saturday, which should help. But you know, you can see why he's drifted a little bit in the market given the conditions. He looks like a horse that, you know, certainly is at his best when he does meet top of the ground, which was the case at Newmarket, of course, when he won the July Stakes last time and finished a very good second in the Commonwealth Cup at Ascot. So yeah, very much looking forward to seeing him back on the track again. You know, 56 days is a long time. An absence for a top class 3-year-old sprinter, but yeah, looking forward to seeing him, and very much keeping an eye on the weather at the same time. And if underfoot conditions do deteriorate, then you know, I think the one horse in the market at the prices at the moment we can expect to shorten is Tazlit, because we know he really does love soft ground. The drop back to 6 furlongs and the wet conditions at York seen him produce a really good display at the Dante meeting back in May when he beat Magical Memory very easily in a very quick time on that occasion. And he's acquitted himself fairly well since. He finished second, beating the neck to the Tin Man. But I think the key to his chances is the ground. And with rain forecast, you know, he's the one I would expect to shorten from the current odds of 6-1.
Well, Tazik, an interesting contender for Jim Crowley and William Haggas in Haydock's Sprint Cup, the Group 1 coming up on Saturday, of course. And with all the weekend's action, you can hear it on William Hill's Racing Radio, along with the rest of Haydock's card and all the action from Leopardstown as well, Craig. And, generally, what ends up being one of the best quality Group 1s of the year, certainly over a middle distance, coming up on Saturday, that being the Irish Champion Stakes. And this year, we've got a short price favourite. Churchill is currently even money at time of recording with us here at William Hill. Eminent is 11-2, 6-1 for Winter. Poet's Word, 8-1. Cliffs of Moher, 10-1. They're 16-1 for both Decorated Night and Success Days. And it's 20-1 and bigger for the rest of them. Craig, are you with Churchill here, or you'd be looking to take him on with something?
Yeah, I think we've got to be with Churchill, really. You know, I always felt from an early stage in the season that, you know, this is a horse that would get a mile and a half. They stepped him up in trip last time on the Knavesmire in the International, and, you know, he finished second, but he was beaten by a better class horse. You know, he stayed every yard of the trip. He beat Barney Roy into third, you know, so he lost nothing in defeat. The time of the race for the conditions was very, very good. proved his stamina. You know, that was 17 days on. He comes here in real good health. He's very, very difficult to oppose, and you know, he'll also handle a little bit cutting the ground if it does get wet across the Irish Sea as well.
We've heard a lot of people say that they don't think the race was particularly panned out for Churchill in the Gemmell International, in that long home straight at York. Him and Barney Roy just took each other on, got racing a little bit too far from home and set it up for Ulysses to come through and get it on the line. Do you subscribe to that theory?
Yeah, definitely, indeed. You know, Ulysses tracked the pace. He travelled the strongest of the trio. And one thing about Ulysses, you know, this season, he looks to have strengthened up. He looks to be producing it where it matters, where, you know, he's a little bit suspect previous to this campaign. But, you know, he is delivering now. He's travelling strongly. And it was a really, really good race. You know, the finish was fought out by three really top-class middle-distance horses. And Churchill, you know, I think the key from that race was that he came out of it proven that he stayed 10 furlongs. And, you know, moving on to Leopardstown at the weekend, you know, I don't think stamina will be an issue. And, you know, he should handle underfoot conditions where, you know, you're looking at the market here, and second favourite is Eminent, a horse I like. You know, got a lot of time for the son of Frankel, but he's quite a tall, leggy individual, and there has to be concern with him on the ground. I don't think this horse will enjoy deep conditions. So, you know, keep an eye on the weather for his chances. I think he'll be a better horse on better conditions. I don't think Winter will run. You know, she's entered elsewhere on the card. I think there's easier opportunities for her, and I'm sure Connections will be very keen to keep her away from Churchill. So expect to see her earlier on in the card. And Poets Word, who did win a Group 3 at the Goodwood Festival and won well, you know, this is a huge step up in class for Poets Word. Lovely horse, but I don't think at this stage of his career he'll be able to bridge the gap between Group 3 and Group 1 company. It is a huge step for him. The danger of bigger prices could be Cliffs of Moher. Unfortunately, the Derby just looks to have taken a fair bit out of him, because he did produce a good display in the Derby. He was beaten by a stronger stayer. The race has worked out well. Regardless of what people think, you know, of this year's Derby, the form and the horses that have ran subsequently, you know, have franked the Derby. But Cliffs of Moher, unfortunately, you know, he's ran in two Group 1s subsequently at Sandown and York last time, but he's been a long, long way off his Epsom performance. And it's, you know, Aidan O'Brien did describe him going into the Derby as being a little bit on the weak side, and that's why they didn't have him fully tuned for his reappearance at Chester, sorry, and they left a bit to work on. And he did take a big step forward at Epsom, but subsequently he's been well below par, and I suppose there's questions needing answered now after those two runs. So it all points to Churchill, unfortunately.
With Aidan O'Brien, it's a little bit like that one of those nice dilemmas, really, in terms of where he sends his horses, isn't it? Because he's got Churchill, the even money favourite for this, and then Cliffs of Moher as well, a couple of bigger prices as well. Lancaster Bomber can currently be backed to 25-1. And then, as you mentioned, the thing with Winter, well, does she go here? Does she go to the Matron Stakes, where he's got other options in the Matron Stakes as well? The likes of, they're thinking of sending Hydrangea to the Matron Stakes, I believe.
Could well be. You know, he's got so many horses and so few races to run them in at the moment, you know, all needing to run. But I would imagine, you know, given, you know, the future in terms of Churchill and Winter after their racing career, I think they'll be keen to keep them apart here.
But I've just mentioned the Matron Stakes got a show up here, and Winter is the odds-on favourite at 10-11. I mentioned Hydrangea, but an even stronger challenger for Ballydoyle in the race could be Roly Poly at 5-2, Craig.
Yeah, Roly Poly's been running well, but, you know, the star performer is Winter, is for sure. You know, she's looked really special this year, and you know, proved at Goodwood last time that she's still going forward and very much the one to beat. It'll be interesting to see who turns up. You know, as you said, Aidan O'Brien has a good few entries in this race, but Winter very much the one to beat, a horse that a filly by Galileo that's won her last four starts.
Well, you can hear, of course, the Irish Champion Stakes, the Matron Stakes, and the rest of the action from Irish Champions Weekend on William Hill's Racing Radio this weekend. But now, Craig, we turn our attentions to Thursday's action, and this is the part of the show where we hand over to the pundit and ask you for your nap and your next best from Thursday's action.
Yeah, some good stuff. on Thursday, and of course it's the start of the 3-day meeting at Haydock, and I'm going to go to Haydock for the best bet of the day on Thursday, and I'm going for the 4:35 race, which is a handicap over the best part of a mile and a half, and I think a Todia could well be the one to be with here, a horse that has got previous form with this course and distance, of course, being a previous winner of the Old Newton Cup, and you know, went up in the weight, struggled in terms of his handicap mark, but the assessor is starting to relent, and he is starting to give this horse a bit of a chance in terms of his mark. He's dropped to 98, a little bit concerning, you know, to his last run at Ascot, where he didn't really travel in the early stages of that race. He came under pressure sooner than you would like to have seen, particularly, you know, for Tordia, who usually does travel quite strongly into his races, but he did see it out. He kept galloping all the way to the line, and he was only beaten 7.5 lengths. At the halfway stage, you know, it was 50-50 whether he was going to be pulled up or continue. He was so far adrift, and I think hopefully that was just a blip at Ascot in terms of his performance in the first half of the race, but it was encouraging the way he picked up, and really encouraging the way he seen it out, and you know, for a previous course and distance winner, I think he has excellent claims from a mark of 98.
Does seem to be his level, doesn't he? He seems to be one of these consistent class 2 handicapper horses that in the last year run nice races in the November handicap, and then back again at Haydock again, and again that was for the Old Newton Cup, a race he's a former winner of.
Yeah, indeed. So, you know, we know he'll handle the track in terms of how we see the race panning out. Galipiat, you would imagine, is the likely pace angle for Mark Johnson. Sinocchi and Star won't be too far behind him. So, you know, we'd expect to see the two Mark Johnson horses to the front in the early stages here. Agent Murphy takes a drop in class, having, you know, come back from a long layoff contesting a Group 3 in a listed race, so he drops back into handicap company on a mark of 102. I wouldn't entirely rule out Agent Murphy.
Interesting to see how Agent Murphy does here, because of course I remember finishing second to Order of St George in the Irish St Ledger a couple of seasons ago. Only had 4 runs since then.
He has, yeah. He's obviously a horse, you know, that's had his share of problems, and but he's come back. He certainly hasn't been disgraced at Newbury or Windsor. And, you know, for a mark of 102, yeah, he should hopefully be shown more positive signs at this level than the pattern races he's been contesting this season. So, you know, I wouldn't entirely rule him out. And he could be a big price as well. But, you know, I think we're going to stick with Tordia, and hopefully he can bounce back to winning ways at a track he loves.
Tordia, the nap, the best bet of the day for Craig Forsyth on Thursday. What about your next best, Craig?
Yeah, we're going to Salisbury for that. And a good race, a mile and a half handicap, which is off at 4:50. So the two bets are running quite late in the afternoon on Thursday. And the one I like in this race is quite a progressive 3-year-old called Comrade Conrad.
Good luck to whoever's commentating at Salisbury.
I think we got that one right. Yeah. Yeah, he was a horse that went into my notebook 2 starts back at Leicester when finishing 5th. And, you know, I felt that was a really solid middle distance handicap for 3-year-olds. And he went to Newbury following that in soft ground. And again, you know, he bumped into a really progressive stare and great sound. But Kieran Schumach didn't give him an entirely hard time in the closing stages. He was no match for great sound. I thought he was value for more than the winning distance, but that was a really decent event, and understandably the handicapper has raised them £2 for that run. He continues to progress, he continues to go the right way. Cheekpieces applied for the first time. Don't really see where, you know, that angle comes from, really, given that, you know, he's looked a fairly straightforward individual on his outing so far this season.
Reported as hanging by the Racing Post, hanging left on his last run at Newbury. Was that something you would have noticed?
No, I've watched that back, you know, prior to recording this podcast, and, you know, I don't think that was too obvious. I don't think he finished second because, you know, he was hanging. You know, he's let's not forget, you know, he's only had 4 runs. There could be more to come from him. I'm hoping there's a little bit more in the locker in terms of improvement. And I think you'll find this a little bit easier, despite taking on some in-form horses, than the race he contested at Newbury last time.
So, Comrade Conrad, the next best, Craig, on Thursday's card.
That would be the second best bet of the day.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for your thoughts with those two selections, Craig. And remember that you can listen to all the horse racing action on Thursday from those four domestic meetings and over in Ireland as well on William Hill's Racing Radio. And tune in tomorrow for another daily podcast from William Hill's Racing Radio.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.